clarifying questions or concerns that you may have regarding the information that was given this morning and potentially regarding the next steps moving forward, although we know that for the next 30 days there's not much we can do, but we certainly would welcome you to have that discussion. So please, Representative Hart.
Good morning. Yes, I am very disturbed by the fact that we have located more individuals. It's almost as if we have a missing African American community, that we've just been buried everywhere throughout our city. And that's very disheartening, and it burns my heart to know that that has happened at King High School. I don't know how children will be directly impacted by having a cemetery on their campus and having not known it was there and how it's going to directly impact them. I don't know if you all are going to have to provide some services for some kids that might find it difficult to deal with. But from the state, I want you all to know that I am fully committed to doing whatever it is that we need to do to help get this memorialized properly. Now, you all know that we did put through a bill and we were open to doing amendments. So now after today, I'm beginning to wonder if we may need to increase the dollar amount that we were proposing in lieu of the fact that we've now found a second burial cemetery, not even knowing how much is still over at Robles yet. So I will have that conversation with both Senator Cruz and Senator Roussan, and then we'll decide how we move forward on the bill. Do we stop the bill for this session, or do we just, you know, put out an arbitrary number? Because that's going to be important, I think. So I don't know.
Well, first,
what do you think?
I don't think you stop the bill.
Just go ahead and file it. And
You file the bill, whatever dollars you think you can come up with.
Okay. Use an arbitrary number?
Yeah, well, not an arbitrary number, something that you think you can come up with. However, we all know there's going to be more.
That's right.
There's more to be found. I'm hearing, as you all know, Port Tampa used to be its own city. Mm-hmm. And there's some things happening down there that I'm getting wind of. So it's going to probably, I would not stop the bill this session if I were you all. I would carry it forth. And then next session, if we found other things, you go back and amend the process and do it that way. That would be my suggestion.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, Mr. Chairman, and would add that tragedy can lead to triumph. History, or should I say their story, needs to be told, and it's up to us to do it. These were a people, a family, that was covered over, and they're more like it. This just underscores the point. And I think it's incumbent upon us to make this tragedy a triumph, to tell their story and tell it loudly.
Schamberger, I know we opened this meeting up, but after this development that we've heard, I think we have a bunch of ministers around the table. And I think at some point we need to have maybe Pastor Banks or Pastor Roundtree, Pastor Gay, give a word of encouragement to the public, know that spiritually we're here. And like Senator Roussan said, tragedy, triumph. It could be appropriate to have a moment of silence, or one of the pastors could lead us in something so we can get that feeling of comfort as we move forward.
Thank you, Councilman Goulds. There's an account in the Bible where Cain slew his brother, Abel. And even though Abel was dead, God said his blood speaks. And although these people have been dead for decades, their blood speaks. They were important to their families. They were important to their communities. And they need to be important to us. We have a commission and an obligation from God to care for widows, poor, fatherless, and strangers. And those of us who've been blessed and fortunate enough to have plenty are under a great mandate to do everything within our ability to give these people the dignity that they've been robbed. We need to ensure that they are not forgotten, and we need to ensure going forward that we don't handle this just as business as usual. These were precious souls that need to be respected.
Yeah. That's my pastor, y'all.
I have a question. I appreciate us talking about what's going to happen going forward, but how did this happen? and who is at fault? Like, I'm interested in knowing, even if it means, you know, holding someone accountable 20, 30 years later, I'm interested in knowing how this happened, what happened to the records, why this occurred, and why we are where we are today. I would hope that that's a component of what we do and talk about in addition to how we treat this going forward.
Madam Chair, do you anticipate any lawsuits going forward? I know it's a little premature at this time, but just like Sean said, someone has to be held accountable.
I mean, our focus has been on making this right, and so things of that nature may occur. What's in our control right now is to do exactly what Reverend Roundtree says, is make sure we bring back dignity to these individuals, make sure we engage our students. Thank you, Representative Hart, for bringing that up, because our students, they're at King High School at 10:30 today. Their families, teachers received this message. At the same time, the community received this message. We do know that our students will probably need some services around this, so we'll make sure that those services are available to the students at King. We also know that the King students, as students all across the school district, they need a voice in this, so that they start to have some ownership of some solutions for their future, and take some control of their future, and how people are treated with dignity in this community. And so we're looking forward. I know we have Dr.
Holt.
Thank you. Dr. Holt here with us today in our supervisor for social studies, and he will help to lead that for our school district. But I will tell you that students are going to be part of this, and that's going to be a very important
component. Any component, this is a learning opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a component of that learning opportunity, in my opinion, is how this happened.
Yeah.
And why it continues to happen to people that look like myself,
yeah,
and others around this table. And why the only burials that we are finding unmarked and grown over and ignored are ours. And so I think a component of this has to be, why is this happening? How is this happening? And even if this is a long time in the past, we need to figure out the records and look at it. I'd be interested in that being a part of this learning opportunity.
It will absolutely be part of it. Yeah.
This also speaks to another platform that I think we will need to, will be part of our overall review. And Chairman Miller mentioned it a moment ago. Those of us who grew up in Tampa understand that you didn't find communities of color all in one corner of this county. Port Tampa was not only a city unto itself, but there was a thriving African-American community there, separate and apart from those who happened to live in West Tampa, those who happened to live in Central Park, those who happen to live in Ybor City, those who happen to live in Belmont Heights or Jackson Heights, those who happen to live in South County. So when we begin looking at, to Sean's point, the historical backdrop, it really speaks to an educational moment to talk about how unique, mm-hmm, but how the challenge of pulling together communities that were pulled apart for any number of reasons. But then ultimately what strikes me and ultimately saddens me is when I hear the report talking about children, mm-hmm, being, yeah, buried. You see, because we know that those parents were doing the best that they could.
Yeah.
And those parents were left with literal no option other than trying to find a way to honor that young talent that would never have the opportunity to reach its full potential. So our challenge as a committee, I think, along with the other things that have been referenced, is to take that educational moment to talk about how that young talent can be honored, how that young talent can be represented in such a way that not only are their memories resurrected, but more critically, our community begins to understand that that difficult time wasn't just difficult because adults struggled. It was difficult because we had young talent that never got the chance to see because of health care, because of food or nutrition issues, because of who knows the wide range of factors that were at play. What we do know is this: that their families couldn't afford to honor them the way they wanted to. So our challenge is to embrace this moment and to understand that we've got some education to do and some reminder that this community, for all the tall buildings and all the wonderful things that we look to today, it's only a community because we care about the least. And these and this location is about those who are the least of.
There's going to be more of this fountain. Mm-hmm. The gentleman that does his research, I understand he does it all day and night. That's mm-hmm. all he does. When I brought up Port Tampa, Port Tampa is a city in itself, had a vibrant African-American community. I understand that he has found something in Port Tampa area that will be coming forth. Mm-hmm. So as we write this history and teach it in our schools, it's going to build on and more about what we find. But I think this committee right now, even though we can't do anything for the next month, those of us that are in this community need to find out exactly what we need to do from our constituency and honoring those that are out there, not only at Robus Park, but out here at King High School and those areas to come. I know that the school district is focusing on King High School, but this committee is going to have more to deal with than King High School, because there's probably more to come. And your responsibility is to educate those young people out there what happened and why this happened, even if it hurts. Mm-hmm. Even if it hurts as to why it happened to African-American community back at that particular point in time, they need to understand.
Yeah. Let me just speak on that as well. And I know Sean's question is an actual question, it's not rhetorical, but you know, my response to that is, we know why this happened. Mm. Certainly back in that day, prophets were put over people, especially people that looked like you and I. And so this district, although the current administration, no one knew about this, we're certainly thankful for the citizen who brought this to our attention, holds complete responsibility. The superintendent of the district, we're going to make sure that this is righted. And in fact, to Commissioner Miller's point, the superintendent, at the request of this last committee meeting, has already kind of put together a cemetery management plan, and we've started looking at records of some of our schools to see if this same thing has been found. And so from our last committee meeting, we've already started that work so we can get ahead of it. And so we are searching all schools, certainly and predominantly African-American or Black areas, to see if we can find anything. I mean, they're digging back through decades and decades of records. It's tedious work though, because even knowing about Ridgewood, looking back through decades and decades of records, I mean, it's like finding a needle in the haystack about this cemetery. So, but we are committed to making sure that if and when, I guess is the question, this happens again, that we're prepared to respond accordingly. But the district is responsible, and we accept responsibility for what has happened at Ridgewood, and we're going to make sure that it's right.
No, and I'm sorry, I appreciate that. I was more interested in the purchase at the time the land was purchased and why it might have been mislabeled. And I'm interested really in the concrete nature, in addition to we know why. Mm-hmm. I'm interested more in the concrete, how it actually happened with regard to the transfer of property and all that. But I appreciate that.
Yeah, that was my one question, was that Councilman Goose, where is the city? Where is the city in this process?
We've got a report due to come back that I asked for all of any type of records or documents to originate back. But I think more importantly, since we have the elected officials here at this table, I think more importantly, we have to look at what are our ordinances and laws within Hillsborough County and at the state level, and they may need to be changed or strengthened to prevent this type of thing from happening again. So that's something that this committee may also put on a bucket list, and also the elected officials look at as well.
Madam Chair, do you anticipate having a public meeting?
Yes, absolutely. Listen, the community is very important in this process. That's why we have you at the table, those of you who have broad reach into the community. So a couple of things we're going to ask that you do. Those of you who certainly have reach and a voice, those of you who have radio shows in our community, to really poll the community about what really should happen, not only with Ridgewood or Zion, but the other cemeteries that will be found in the future. As far as this committee, we will have a third meeting relatively soon, probably after the 30-day period, once we hear back from the state. And we will allow the community to come in voice their concerns and their opinions about what should be done as well. So we absolutely want to be transparent, and we want to be inclusive and make sure that everybody is involved in this process. This is not a school district thing. This is a community issue. Black and white, by the way. This cemetery is largely African-American, but there is a portion of Ridgewood that's actually white. So this is a community issue, and so we want to make sure that the entire community of all color, of all cultures, are involved in this process and the process moving forward.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
I'm glad you said that, because it is a class issue. Mm-hmm. Class issue. When we looked at our initial meeting, you could see the transaction, Mr. Shaw, that took place when the city owned the property, right, sold it to a private investor, and I think less than 3 years later, he sold it for exactly twice as much as he paid for it. He just wasn't fortunate. That wasn't fortuitous. That was pre-planned on the backs of the poor. And so it's a systemic issue. And we can address Ridgewood and Zion and some areas that are beyond the school board's purview. But until we understand that this is a systemic issue in our culture and understand that profits have always been made on the backs of the poor, this isn't new. Until we stand up and unite ourselves to be a voice for these people, dead and alive, then it's going to continue happening. You know, we can address one, but like you said, it's a needle in a haystack. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to find a needle in a haystack, let's move the haystack and put something concrete in place to make sure that these people are honored. And you know how much burials cost today? Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah. So we have to do something. This is a great opportunity to launch into some programs that can be put in place so that when loved ones die, people aren't having to wash cars and sell fish dinners on the corner to bury their GoFundMe to bury their loved ones.
One other observation, and this is actually directed toward Senator Roussan and Representative Hart and Senator Cruz. As the state is grappling with this 30-day window, anything that can be gotten back to us regarding input, thoughts, obviously you're going to be grappling with cost issues associated with the bill, but anything that you can access for us that will help us understand their process, and or how we might react or give input would be, I think, would be appreciated by all around the table.
Well, thank you for that. And I want you to know that I'll be consulting with Senator Cruz and Representative Driscoll and Representative Hart. We do go back to Tallahassee December 9th for committee week, and I think it's appropriate to have a meeting with leadership to discuss trajectory, where we go from here, and whatever information we can get before that date, provide to this committee and to the school district.
I also like to, so we have, of course, our civil rights organization, the NAACP, represented on the community. Madam President Yvette Lewis, thank you for being a part of the committee. Do you have any initial questions or concerns or any clarifying questions that you, on behalf of your organization, need answered today or have today?
Well, first of all, I want to thank the school district for stepping up to the plate and taking ownership of what was just discovered and delivered the information, much different from the city of Tampa. I have not taken any ownership. So with this, you know, our history has been jaded, has been whitewashed, has been torn down, and like Commissioner Miller said, you know, our history has to be told. And I do believe that something's going on in the city of Tampa, in Hillsborough County, that our ancestors are trying to tell us something. This is time, this is now. And, you know, I'm just, you know, to be honest with you, just taken back with all of this, because you look at it and reality is, coming from a civil rights organization, and I have to say it, it just was hatred towards people who look like me. And it just deeply saddens me that people can hate you that much, that they can just treat you less than, and then we forget about these people. what do we do? You know, we have to honor these people. We have to say something. I don't care what the dollar amount is. The city of Tampa, Hillsborough County, all of these people at the table, the powers of be, have got to recognize the spirits and the souls, the blood, sweat, and the tears that these people have contributed to this city and this county. I don't want to hear nobody tell me about a dollar amount. Just do it. For God's sake. I am sick of this. This hurts deeply that we can be thrown away and nobody tells a history. Nobody's telling these people history and these people's story. Unbelievable. And I'm born and raised in this city, and I'm ashamed of this city right about now. And this county. I'm ashamed.
Thank you, Madam President.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michelle Grimsley. I'm the legislative aide to State Representative Wingate Newton, and he is actually now the chair of the Hillsborough delegation. So I would like to make sure that you know that he is very committed to finding out, as Representative Shaw stated, why and how this happened. He stated at the first meeting that he's sure there's more to come, and I hope that there's a plan in place to start to figure out what the next steps will be so that the process can be expedited in a better manner in the future. He is in San Diego at a conference, so that's why he is not here, but I just want to make sure that you know that he is committed to standing by our other state representatives and senators in this issue, and we will do whatever we can to back you up.
We appreciate the support.
Let me also thank the district for being proactive in looking at those other areas where we know African-American families and families of color resided. I know Commissioner Chairman Miller and I talked about the fact that at our last meeting, that there's if you start at Ybor City and work east, there's a cascade of cemeteries, almost one after the other, working from Nebraska, working all the way to 56th Street. And when you realize, you see that pattern, you have to know it's not by accident. So thank you for listening and then taking the initial step to take a look at your own properties in that area to see whether those properties are perhaps areas where there may be a further need for examination.
I appreciate that. And so, Madam President's comments, there was no dollar amount that we want to even talk about. It's whatever it takes right now for our school district to get this right. I think what we wanted at the very onset when this information was delivered to us, and that we wanted to set the template and the tone for how this process really needs to be orchestrated across our community. And we feel like our partner GeoView did a very thorough job, and we have gone through every record. We have a location in our building that has all the historical records of every transaction that's ever been made here in Hillsborough County. So we started that immediately at the request of this committee, and we will continue to expand that perimeter if we feel like we need to. Right now we have not, but it is tedious, as Ms. Schamberger had said. It's looking through every record. This would not have come to be had we not put all the pieces together. Just looking at school board records would not have uncovered this. It was really about triangulating, deeds and property appraisals and looking at all those different documents that ultimately brought us to the conclusion that we need to do something. And so that's the kind of work we're doing right now, and our staff is committed to doing that.
I just wanted to point out too, in 1997, the Florida legislature created a report of African-American cemeteries in the state of Florida. There was no apparent action that was taken from doing that report. Senator Cruz, Senator Roussan, Representative Hart, Rep. Driscoll, Rep. Newton, the point of that legislation that's been filed is to actually take action and to speak to what you were saying, Yvette. dollar amount, appropriations, what have you, actually taking substantive action from a report. This report has lots of pretty pictures. It's online. It's great. But nothing happened from that, clearly, because we're still finding them. And Tampa's under a microscope here. It's not the only place in Florida that these cemeteries will be found. We have a real opportunity to be the example for the state. And that's what Senator Cruz definitely is committed to. So thank you for your leadership.
Thank you so much for that support.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I recognize this is a dark day in our community, this information coming forth. But I'm an optimistic person based on my faith. And there's a scripture that I rely on, Romans 8:28, that says all things work together for good for them that love him. In spite of all the evil that happened when this occurred years ago, God has the ability to flip it for something that can be positive. And the commitment that I see around this table is positive. The school board stepping forth to take responsibility is positive. The commitment from our legislators to pass the appropriate legislation to accommodate taking care of this situation is positive. The commitment to use this as a learning opportunity for our children to hear about our ancestors is positive. So our country has the ability, and we've demonstrated it in the past, in times of crisis, to come together. With so much that is dividing our country today, perhaps God in his infinite wisdom knew that we needed something to bring us together. Mm-hmm. And so this is a focal point that we can come together and demonstrate, and as someone just indicated, we can be a model for the state, because this is not an isolated incident. No. But if we handle it appropriately, then we can be used as a model for other communities to move forward in a positive way as well.
Thank you so much, Reverend Banks, for that. Thank you so much for that. We, from the last committee, I think Reverend Roundtree asked, like, has this been done before? One of you asked, like, has this been done before? What can we learn and glean from other communities who've experienced this or other school districts? And again, we got to work immediately, and I tell you, there's really just nothing out there. Right, Superintendent?
There are some examples, but knowing the caliber of people we have around the table, none of the examples would be what we would consider to be a best example of how we would want to treat this particular situation. We have a high bar here, and I think we're going to set the bar very high for how we do this right for our family.
So to your point, Reverend Banks, like, we have a chance to really set the tone for how future cemeteries are handled when they are located. So we're very honored to have each of you at the table so we can make sure that everything's handled appropriately moving forward. Anyone else have any comments or concerns? Okay, so seeing none, again, moving forward over the next 30 days, we ask that you continue to engage your constituents, your communities, about the possibility of what will happen if this property is turned back over to the school district, what we would like to see happen. We will keep in contact with you regarding the next steps, the next dates for our meeting, the location, and all of that stuff. But we remain, the superintendent certainly remains available, myself, for any questions or concerns you may have in the meantime. But we definitely have a chance to show the greatest amount of dignity and respect to these families, which is our number one goal and our number one priority. And so we thank you for helping us make this right. So thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you.
Gotcha. Yeah, no worries. And I'll send it right to you.
I will send you. I'm going to send it to the committee.
It's hard to fit in. I can't even turn.